This is KWAI, Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.
The dialogue got the talks.
Watch out of the little
thing. Oh, yeah.
Oh,
right.
Got a girl.
My princess make them move.
She's the kind of woman that lets you know, but she knows what you want, she won't let go. Takes you to a place of your fantasy, walks you to the door, but she holds a key. That girl, ooh, that kind of girl.
Sounds the kind of
love. That girl, ooh, that kind of girl. No matter who you are or what you do, she knows how to take and everything you do. She can make you hot when it's cold outside, take you on a high and make you fly. That girl, ooh, that kind of girl.
Don't suck on the line.
That girl, ooh, that kind of girl.
She's outspoken, I'm heartbroken. Just the kind of girl to keep my love life rolling. She's outspoken, I'm heartbroken. Just the kind of girl to keep my that girl to make you break your silence and speak. Just a glimpse upon the silhouette, my knees get weak. Baby, so unique. A regimatic love, a lover, make your life complete.
That girl. That kind of girl.
That kind of
girl. That kind of girl. She's the kind of woman who knows the speed. Even under pressure, she's smooth and sweet. No complications, just attitude. Believe in what she got, since we won't get confused. That girl. That kind of girl.
The kind of
love. That girl, ooh, that kind of girl.
Well, I'm weak to her touch, so vulnerable to her blush. Love struck that girl, I got an instant crush. You can call me your lust, infatuation, or just lust. The girl wasn't so soft to make the man dim.
Holy Moses, thought it could have been me. Caught up in the trap and didn't wanna be.
I know.
But I ain't a fool, I was one step ahead.
Yeah.
I had to let go, cause I was over my head. That girl, ooh, that kind of girl.
Don't suck on the
lover. Girl, ooh, that kind of girl.
I can't stop you, kind of girl.
That kind of girl.
That girl.
Ooh. Let
them know. That kind of girl. The kind of girl. This is outspoken. I'm not broken.
Whoa.
The kind of girl to keep my love life flowing. She's outspoken. I'm not broken. She's the kind of girl to keep my
that girl.
I gotta let them know.
That kind of girl.
The kind of girl that
comes to me so
soon.
That kind of girl. That girl. That kind of girl.
Just in case.
That girl.
That girl.
Time for the Carol Cox Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now here's Carol. The following program is brought to you by Carol Cox. Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of KWAI staff and management.
And good morning. The reason for that is my views are my views, and good morning. So, if you'd like to call in today, 524-1080, 524-1080, and just going to, for the first hour, talk about a few things that's developing and a few things that are going on in the neighborhood. So, And, hey, the special session will open tomorrow. And good. A democratic process finally showing its face here. And now if you ask the one side, it's not democratic. It's not democracy. It's the devil forcing himself upon us. And you know, and on and on. But I'm just forever reminded that in a world where we are democratic and we are peaceful and we are instilling peace and love and happiness around the globe, of course, that's after the bombs fall. But, you know, but love can come before the bombs or the militaristic approach to everything, and we're bigger and better and have the, we know the war strategies that will take out thousands and what have you, but when it all said and done, we're still having to deal with the human issues, the issues that face us daily. And one of the issues that most of us struggle with every day is to let the other fellow live his life, their lives. That's a challenge, it appears, for many people, not to just try to capitalize on the good things for themselves and in their life and making them better spiritually and respecting others. They have a struggle, and in that struggle, they flock to groups, whether it be the Democratic Party, whether it be the Republican Party, the Tea Party, the Beer Party, whatever. Whether, you know, and then that is a definite struggle, it appears, for the human being on this planet. We have everything in place, the churches, the synagogues, the temples, and, you know, and all of that. But when we leave that place, I wonder what it would be like if we were just to try to improve ourselves and improve upon ourselves and do that rather than expending energy trying to dictate to others what they should and shouldn't do. And what strikes me as well is that there are some of the people that are and I don't know, but they proclaim to be messengers of God. And I get lost in that. And in fact, I've been watching the Catholic Church, the New Hope or the No Hope or the New Dope or whatever. And you look at this whole process, and they're in the schools and using the school as a platform. Yeah, I know it's after hours and on weekends that they are, I guess, paying rent or leasing and paying their fair share. But apparently that doesn't come into play. If I found that the Ku Klux Klan or the John Birch or the Tea Party was using the school as a together and summon people to rally and talk about blacks and speak hatred, I'd be out there raising hell. But for some reason, it's really telling. This thing with the religious, I won't call them the religious right, because that suggests, if you don't listen carefully, you think they're religious and they're right. But you just have to look back and see what is really going on in the minds. For me, these are my observations, and if you don't like them, good for you, but it's me expressing my thoughts and my concerns and my observations personally. And that is, I see the pastors, even with the Hawaiian pastors and the kahus and the ministers, and I see them, they're blessing a military facility or blessing a military ship or something to do with whose ultimate purpose, not whose, it's not a living entity, but when the soldiers go abroad to do things and we get the reports back that another, quote, errant bomb or errant missile or an attack has caused the loss of lives of civilians, And yet, we stand there and we see quite often there's a minister standing there, Father in heaven, bless our soldiers who's going to go abroad. Father in heaven, bless this ship that's going to be loaded with weaponry that will kill. I'm just saying to you that maybe we need to, as a people, as a nation, look inward and see what it is that we speak in one sense, but we live in conflict. And I'm not saying don't have weaponry. I think if we don't, we're just caught off guard. We'll be dictated to what we do because of the rest of the world is sharing the same evil thoughts that we do sometimes. So anyway, I'm anxious to see, and as I'm hearing now, that the bill for same-sex marriage will pass, and I will go into that a little bit. But and what strikes me as interesting about this process is that many of the Democratic senators and representatives have stated that, oh, it's going to pass, but we're not. I'm not going to stand in the way, but I'm not going to support it. So wouldn't it be nice if everyone were just to speak up in a democratic process and let us know where they stand and what this is about? But anyway, I'll take a call here. Good morning, caller. You have a comment or question? Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller. You have a comment or question?
Yeah.
Okay, that was our friend Jacob, so he doesn't get the message. We're speaking, talking about being kind. We want to be kind to him, but apparently he doesn't know his limits and doesn't know the tolerance or my limit of tolerance. So anyway, if you'd like to call in, 524-1080 is the number. So anyway, this is a letter. Bishop Larry Silva. Now, I wouldn't give a rat's butt what Bishop Silva does or say, or the church do or say or anything. I really wouldn't care, and I think that would be their right. It's like freedom of speech, freedom of belief. I believe in the U.S. Constitution. Here's what troubles me about, and what prompts me to express my opinions overtly about this religious business. You see, Bishop Silva and his ilk and his group and his church has great influence over our so-called leaders that we elect democratically and put them in place. We see the Mufti Hannemans, we see the all of them flock and congregate and fraternize with this gentleman. And this Mr. Silva, or Bishop Silva, writes a letter to all clergy and parishioners of the Diocese of Honolulu on the 13th of October. Dear sisters and brothers, peace be with you. As you know, the state legislature will convene in a special session beginning October 28th, 2013, to consider a bill submitted by Governor Abercrombie on marriage equity or same-sex marriage. We thank all who have prayed for the Lord's guidance on this issue and have contacted your legislators. I now urge you to continue prayer and to more intense action. What does that mean? Go down there and throw hate bombs or throw letters, shout at them, or what? If you have already contacted your legislators, please consider doing so again. If you have not, please do so within the next couple of weeks. Please keep in mind that the major concern should not be giving this or that same-sex couple the ability to be married, but rather the long-term profound societal implications such as such a concession would have on all of us. I'm sitting here without glasses, so bear with me. Now, the Catholic charities, we know that they get monies. We know Damien received monies. I think it was $1.5 million for their school of public monies. And so I just have to ask, why is it that Bishop Silva is so vocal and overt with his actions? And why is it that we can sit by and tolerate? And I know there are believers and there are believers. But even the believers should have a burp or some kind of afterthought to ask, why don't, if it's about cultural and the humanity and the well-being of our children and in our futures as men and women, then why don't he be as vociferous and as open and overt about the issues of rapes, molestation, fraud, murder within the Catholic Church, within the hierarchy? It's already proven. They're settling out like flies falling from the raid has been sprayed. But why isn't the, quote, Lord telling Bishop Silva? And why is it that our leaders, who we elect democratically, flock to this stable of stench, or whatever you call it, when he has this audience? I'm just telling you my opinions, and I know if I go to hell, then I'll be reminded why I'm in hell, if there's a place. But the hell that I witness right now is what I see when I see a man with a collar and preachers holding a Bible. And if we were to just, and I'm not saying people should improve themselves, but let's peel back just maybe 5 years or 10 years of a great many of these so-called pastors or preachers, and let's look and see what their history is, their criminal record. Some of them were even pimps, and they admitted. Some were even selling crack and dishing crack out. So when did they come to their senses to learn that they can hate or speak out or receive a message from the, quote, Lord, to remind people like myself that we shouldn't support gay rights or gay marriage? Just being an advocate for common sense and common thought. No one will ever sit and talk like this, I guess, but there are. But I would like to know. So 524-1080, and I welcome any calls. Here he goes on, the boundaries our young people so desperately need in our oversex culture will be widely expanded if not taken away altogether, thus leading to more confusion in their hearts and minds. The prohibition against homosexual activity that the Word of God makes so clear can only be ignored to the detriment of all. The law of God is written into each human heart, and there are serious consequences if we ignore it. That's strange. There's more rape, molestation, killing, robbery, theft within the Catholic Church. It's proven. They've admitted many of these things. Cover up, conspiracy to prevent the prosecution. So if these words ring out so well, how is it that Bishop Silva can only select which subjects he want to preach to you about?
Good morning, caller. You have a comment or question?
Oh, my, yes.
Yes, go ahead.
Bishop Silva talked in that, what you just read, the last paragraph that you just read,
mm-hmm.
about love.
Right.
If you read, and I know you, I'm sure you have, just listening to you, in the Bible, Jesus, whom the Catholic Church is built on, Christianity takes its name from the teachings of Christ, Christ never once said a word about homosexuals. Never, ever. But he does say repeatedly, 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 love. The first commandment, the most important commandment, is love thy God as thyself, and love thy neighbor. Bishop Silva has done nothing toward loving thy neighbor. He is preaching and teaching hate. And he, there, you know, he's using whatever he wants to, because most people don't read the Bible, don't really look at it for what it's worth, don't look and see. For instance, there are more references to taking care of the poor, the sick, and the homeless than anything else in the Bible. Anything else in the Bible. The Old Testament, the New Testament. Has the church done that? No.
Mm-hmm. Well,
you know,
yeah,
he's so busy being a hypocrite.
But, you know, if he didn't have an audience, right, if he didn't have an audience, and that audience consists of legislators, that audience, that audience, he's the Pied Piper when it comes, when we look back at the democratic process here, because they all pay homage to this gentleman or to the church, the Romney Cocholas in the legislature, the Mizuno.
Did you read Mizuno's statement today?
Anything Mizuno has to say, I just figure I borrow from the religious world and say, that's the devil talking. This guy...
Well,
so
no,
conflicted.
Today's a good one.
Well, I understand that. I haven't read it, but I'm telling you what I think. The guy, whatever, he and Kimberly Pine, or they may be different parties, but they share the same brainwaves. Anything that they can latch on to, who cares what he thinks? I mean, we watch him. He does everything, homeless issues and all, and we still, he won't stand up. I've watched him. I've dealt with him. And so for his comments on gay marriage and all, he needs to define himself so that we can understand where we're going. But go ahead, whatever it is that he wrote, I don't.
Well, he has in today's paper. He has done exactly what you've asked for.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of his, he has evolved, and he talks about it, and that he is going to vote for the bill.
Mm-hmm.
And he talks about his evolution.
Yeah, within the evolution, what took place, and we've been at this for a while, 3 months? I mean, when was the Supreme Court ruling? I mean, what did it take?
What did it take? But he talks about the last 20-some years.
Yeah, I understand.
Attitudes.
I understand.
But it's a good article, so you must read it.
No, I must not. Don't.
Okay.
Listen to what I'm saying. I don't care what the evolution. He's a legislator. We need clear and definitive comments and statements and stance so that we as a people know. So when we go to him and have an honest talk with him, soliciting input from him, then he should tell us up front, not allow his political mindset and his religious mindset to collide, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so now we see, I didn't read it, and probably, but it's an evolution, as you describe it, or whoever describes it. Yeah.
No, that's what he says.
Yeah, do we have time to, in our lives, to watch and each individual legislator evolve, or is he legislating? If we subjected every issue that we're concerned with, that faces us daily, well, we won't get any action on that today because the they don't need to do anything anyway, but a new introduction is that we got to wait until each one of them evolve. You see the nonsense? He's given facts and figures but anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I was pleased that he has at least moved to the point that he will vote for it.
Right. But
the person that bothers me, there's two.
Right.
That really bother me, and Joe Jordan,
right,
and Marcus Oshiro. Those are the two. Now,
how about
Marcus,
Sam Sloan? How about Sam Sloan? Is he?
Oh no,
for?
No,
okay.
No. Sam is always. You know where Sam stands.
Okay.
There ain't no question about it. This is where he is. He's always been there. He will always be there.
So let's make a list, and when we speak about entities. we include them all, because I don't want to leave anybody out. They may call and complain that I didn't give them attention, so let's be fair to them.
Okay. Being open and fair, Sam Sloan is going to always be where he is. He has made no mistake about it. There's no waffling. There's no...
Gene Pat Robinson Ward? What's he doing?
Gene Ward is always the same.
Okay.
So
imagine...
We're just not even going to...
Right.
Now, the McDermott, however, is very vicious. And he's a problem because of his viciousness.
Mm-hmm.
Where the others have just said, no, that's where I am, and, you know. But Marcus Oshiro is a problem. And a lot of people tell me, well, it's the district from which he comes that is so heavily Filipino Catholic that he's feels threatened if he does not
mm-hmm.
take their position. Now, that's what one of the, quote, intelligentsia, I guess is what you want to call it, had told me when I said I was really disappointed in Marcus. Marcus, Joe Jordan is another one who is so totally conflicted and so in a pickle. Poor thing. That's what you get when you, you know.
Well, let me say that I'm not scornful of Joe Jordan and Marcus Oshiro and Mizuno. I could care less what they... You know who I really put the blame on?
Who?
Is the people that caucus and the people that say, oh, I'm a Democratic member and I'm a Democratic Party member and I'm the chair of this caucus and I blame them, because, you see, if they are not alert enough and committed enough, I don't want to hear down the stream that the individuals now, because at some point it's not a democratic process if you go to these meetings and you fly off to Colorado and you sit in a big group and wave signs when they tell you to, when Obama speaks. That's who I blame, the people who should stand up and say, look, you're not following the platform here, and the agreement is as a democratic process, at least put it on the table. But it's shameful that now we're learning the weevils in the wheat are starting to sprout wings and speak out, and then we stand back and go, oh, what a beautiful article. Failure.
But those people, those Joe Jordan and Marcus Oshiro, are exactly what I am saying.
Right.
They're the ones that stood up and said that, you know, they claim to be Democrats, they run with the D, and they are the ones that complained in the meeting, oh, we can't do anything to Mike Gabbard because of the bill that he introduced.
Who is they? You mean Joe Jordan?
Joe Jordan.
Yeah.
And Marcus Oshiro, exactly what I'm talking about, exactly what you're saying.
Yeah, and then there's a guy who appointed Joe Jordan for the position that she in. Or did she get elected this occasion?
Yes, she got elected.
Okay,
she
but
was appointed first, and then she got elected
right.
the last.
So
time.
Who vetted these people? Where was the Democrats
I don't know how.
Right? And so my concern is that the scorn should be projected on not Joe Jordan, not Mizuno, but to those other rabbits that gather around and nibble on carrots and not don't have the huevos to stand up and be Democratic. And then at the end, so they're all conflicted. They're all just like Bishop Silva. They're all conflicted. Half of them wouldn't know unless the governor or Noyes speaks up. Then they get the marching orders. But the process is, would you sit next to, and I don't mean to project this on you personally, but if there was a Ku Klux Klansman, and you would you tolerate that person talking about, well, I'm modifying a new Molotov cocktail so I could burn more black houses, and, you know, but I'm not going to. Would you tolerate that person and wait till he evolved to come to his senses and find that he shouldn't be hating?
Well,
I would.
You know you're asking the wrong person.
Hold on. Let's see here.
Let's get somebody else.
Good morning, caller. You have a comment or question?
Hey, it's your good buddy here.
Hey, good morning, Moose Thatch.
Hey, Attaway. Now, who's Bishop Silva?
I'm sorry I didn't say that. I tend to rush the things. Most Reverend Larry Silva, Bishop of Honolulu.
Yeah, that sounds like a pretty good position.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, I'm a little bit of punchy from insomnia, but there's a church in Waikiki that's a Catholic church.
Yeah?
I attended service there today. What's the name of that church?
I don't go to them. I don't know.
Marsha? The one that Damien came out of?
Marsha, you know the churches?
St. Andrews, maybe?
Downtown Honolulu or Waikiki?
Waikiki.
Yes.
At St. Andrews?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they got a bishop in, what's it called, that stained glass?
Mm-hmm.
And when you're facing ocean from the altar,
mm-hmm.
that's one heck of a bishop. He's got really kind of grayish, like ashen gray skin.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's an arrow pointing towards the Anunnaki there. So I'm a Roman Catholic, and I've ordained myself as a minister with the Universal Life Church. And I would just ask simply, did you guys, either one of you, ever think of ordaining yourselves as ministers?
No, there's no room for any more hypocrites. I don't want to add to that.
Well, you see, having been in the Roman Catholic Church for a long time and having mm-hmm. become aware of the Colburn Bible
right.
and being an ordained minister, I have the freedom and liberty and experience and will and enthusiasm to do things like, you know, take your confidential information. You can tell me anything. And I can try to help you figure through it and don't have to report to a judge or nobody.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, let's say you come to confession to me
mm-hmm.
and you tell me how bad you were or something. I don't have to give you Hail Marys or Our Fathers. I can tell you to go listen to the Eagles, Rush, Black Sabbath, and mm-hmm. Grand Funk Railroad and call me in the morning and tell me what you're going to do good.
Yeah.
So, like, if there's an administration or authority that emanates from the Pope and comes through the bishop, I think they have to realize that their job is to emancipate souls. And if there's anybody that, it's like this, on a need-to-know basis, if you know 1 Corinthians 14:4-8, love is described in that section of the Bible, that's all you need to know. The rest mm-hmm. is want to know.
Well, you know, I went to confession. One time, one first and only time, I went and I complained there that I had punctured the tires of a car. The guy behind the screen asked me, well, what's the problem? Well, I punctured his tires and I just want to, he was over there trying to hit on my sister, you know, and all I heard was, oh, that was you, you little rascal.
Well, maybe you should have been, like, more Catholic or Christian and taught that guy how to treat your sister. And have a time together like that, maybe?
He missed it.
Anyway.
He missed it.
Oh, is a joke in there? I'm pretty sharp. I'm sorry. I missed it. Do you have Roman Catholic experience yourself, sir?
No, I say, I once went, first and only time, went to confession.
Yeah.
And I was confessing that I had felt bad, but I punctured the tires of a fellow's car.
Yeah.
And because he was over trying to harass and get a date with my sister.
Yeah.
And so his response was, oh, it was you, you little rascal.
Well, I'll try this one then.
Okay, well, no.
The Reverend Mother brings the whole nunnery out and says, we found a condom in the nunnery. And 9,900 nuns were going, and one was going... And then they said, and further,
okay,
we
that,
discovered there was a hole in the condom.
Okay.
999 sisters were going, and one was going, oh!
Okay, that's taken a bit far. But anyway, all right.
So what's the issue here, that the bishop is kind of interceding in emancipating the souls?
No, the bishop is, the issue is, just to comment on why won't he speak for me. Across the board, why don't he speak
out?
Well,
really, he's supposed to be, like, maybe God's representative in speaking for God, and it's in 1 Corinthians 14:4-8.
Right.
Love is, and if there's two people that want to love each other, who's to say? Stop them.
But Larry says no. So anyway, let me get the other caller, all right?
Thank you for taking my call, sir.
Aloha.
Bye.
Good morning, caller. You have a comment or question?
Yo, what's up, Carol?
Good morning, caller. You have a comment or question?
What's up?
Okay,
hello?
Go ahead. Go ahead, Marcia.
Okay. I'm tickled that someone didn't know who Bishop Silver was. I, like you, I had just taken for granted that, you know, next to who was the governor, who was, because, and I think he thinks the same thing, too, that Silver thinks that he is Lord and Master over the Dominions.
Well, yeah, I don't think anybody that, I don't want to, people's belief is their right, and I respect that. It's just when they come out of a dark room where there's all kind of bad behavior, and then they start to pretend and preach that they are the carrier of the, quote, word. They are the messenger. They are, and they're dripping, their hands are dripping with the filth of humanity. You know, a one child being molested in church by anyone is bad. But we have hundreds, thousands, and yet this gentleman can sit and write, but it's okay. It's the people's right to believe, and I'm not going to take issue with that. But being that it's out there, being that he spoke about it, I just thought I would respond and offer my insight and my opinions.
Well, in yesterday's advertiser, there was an article, I guess the Star advertiser, I'm sorry. There was an article written by a minister from Nanakuli.
Mm-hmm.
And he was so concerned that that the churches would have to perform gay marriages.
Mm-hmm.
And he went on and on. Did you read the article? It was hard to read, but anyway, I did. And so I'd like to speak to the public accommodations portion of his article. And obviously, he is too young to have known the horrors of living in America, the length and breadth of America,
mm-hmm.
before we had public accommodations law. And again, no question about where I stand on this issue of people being free to marry whomever they want. He was talking about the fact that the churches would be forced to because of the public accommodations law. That's when I got my blood on my shoulders, because that is when I sent in my testimony. I said, I will be there to testify. Not one sentence, not one comma, not one period of the Title II of the 1964 Civil Rights Act will be tampered with. No, absolutely not. And I wrote my letter to him that I was grateful that he was too young to have ever experienced the horrors of Jim Crow, the horrors of trying to drive across country without a place to stop, to eat, to have a drink of water, to go to the bathroom.
Or just real simple. For me, that is it's a good debate and what have you. I just say I'm sorry that the young man is jaded and blinded because he's been raised the wrong way, because he doesn't have to go back and see Jim Crow or turn back the pages. Just stand on the street corner and look at the kids that are being sold drugs. Just look at when a police lieutenant gets caught for conspiracy and selling drugs and all of that and lying and all and gets 8 months, and then another girl gets caught for help growing marijuana and gets 27 months. See, this is, we start to pretend that we buy into what this debate is. They didn't know, or they're too young to know. All they have to do, if they're godly, look around them and they'll understand that when you look into the state government, why is it that it's very little representation of the native Hawaiian people? They don't have to go back and be reminded by seeing a sign that says colored drink here only. It's right around them. It's at their fingertip. It's at their feet. It's as they breathe it. There is discrimination, racism right here. This is a land. They lost their country. It was taken from them illegally. So I think we tend to cripple people when we, you and me, start to remind them how bad it was with Jim Crow. No, I'll just be bold enough to tell you right now that it's bad right here. To live in a country and be struggling to find food, find housing, find education, and all of those things, poor health care. They don't need to see a fountain that says colored only, whites only. They just need to wake up and be reminded that when you hate, you hate, and that's what you're doing. And good morning, Paula. Comment or question, please.
Yo, what's up?
Go ahead, Marsh.
Well, I did include that in my letter about the loss of their language, their land, their culture, even their dreams.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I put that in, and how the elite have always said what a wonderful place Hawaii is, and they never, ever look at the truth.
Yeah. Well, I always watched, and when I lived on the mainland, I would see people, and especially when I was younger, people would come and say, where have you been? Well, you know, these are the whites, and, oh, we went to Hawaii. Oh, Hawaii, they would say. Oh, okay.
Hawaii.
And then they got the nice tan, and I'm saying to myself, if you were laying on the beach drinking Mai Tais and getting the tan and playing tennis, who was doing this cooking and serving? But you know, there's no racism here in Hawaii, and we need to remind them, we need to just say, here's a nap and clear your eyes, because someone has given you the biggest snow job there is. You have agencies set up, OHA, that is, in my opinion, is a way of defrauding the government, maintaining status quo, and being able to pluck and rip and tear from the hands of the native people. The Department of Hawaiian Homeland, the same thing. So,
and it's on the front page of the paper today.
Well, yeah, but so I beg of all
that exactly what you're saying is on the front page of the paper.
I but again, I think it's our obligation to flush out this nonsensical approach that the legislators, the Joe Jordans, the Mizunos, the Oshiros, not to be entertained and gravitate to, they're emerging now. Look, they're like the butterfly. No, they are like the wasp or the pest, that they've been amongst us. They've been stalling. They've been deferring. They've been just interfering and delaying the rights and obstructing justice.
Mm-hmm.
And it's okay, they're doing it, but the so-called upright, upstanding Democrat sits there and participate with them and not get screaming and pull their hair out of their head. You know, I don't see anything anyone ever said that the Democrats got so angry at the Mizunos and all for not defining exactly where they stood on these issues. But instead, look for how much time and effort went into just getting it to HB 444.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we need to be honest, you, me, and anybody else that want to project out there that we don't have the discrimination and what have you. No, this whole process is a result of hatred.
Period. I'll tell you one more legislator that I am totally, totally upset with. And as a rule, I don't let this get to me, but this one really bothered me. And if there's anybody listening, you can quote me on this one and say it right, that it is Justin Woodson. He was appointed by the governor, and he is representing the district in Maui, and he is African-American, And he had the unmitigated gall, in writing, to say that, well, he was undecided because he wanted the people to vote.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, obviously, he has no sense of history, because if the people had voted, he would still be a slave. Now, you can quote me on that. If you call him, tell him I said so. Please call him and tell him I said so.
Well, the George Michael says freedom. But anyway, here's the deal with this process. So you get a guy like Justin Woodson. They promoted him. The governor appointed him, right?
Yes.
And you have Donna McCardle Kim, who says, I'm not going to interfere with the bill, and I'm not going to vote for it. That's okay. But how much tolerance, or how much of this will we tolerate in the future? That's why I appreciate this bill coming about and this issue being tabled openly, because those that were reluctant, they're committing themselves and now feel it's safe to declare that they really were not for it. They're really not democratic, and they allowed their religious belief. And it sounds like the Democrats, you can just take a mirror and stand in front of it, and you'll see a Republican in this state.
Well,
let me finish. Here's what happens. So you give them the mirror, and you'll see the Democrats say, you know, I'm not decided yet, and I'm still, you know, let's let the people vote on it, right? But the Republicans say, let's take back America. So maybe that's an explanation why we can't get anything done in Congress, because the Republicans are trying to take back America from the blacks and the minorities and the women and the gays and the Jews or whatever. And then over here, the Democrats they're not really taking back anything. They're just saying, well, all I can do is become a camouflaged and walk amongst them and be silent and eke out a living in this process, and then that's it. That's an insult to humanity, because they're both guilty. So, you know, that's maybe the explanation, the real reason why we can't accomplish anything. And when someone say, let's let the American people, or let the people, well, like Woodson say, vote for it. Well, here's the problem. We've already established that. That's why you are a representative. You are the people's vote. That's why you can't sit there and play loosely with it and be religious and inject your personal feelings. That was a safeguard set up in the Constitution, right?
Okay.
So, when I hear this nonsense, I say to myself, there's some of us, they cut our chains off and they cut our handcuffs off and they freed us, but they still have our minds. And they still have us running, flocking to church, and amen, and we dare not ask a preacher, how dare you preach hate and then tell me your whole foundation is love and the word of God? How dare you? That's a free man. You see, that's... Mm-hmm. So, back to this process. Who appointed him? The great Democrat.
A governor.
Neil Abercrombie,
yeah.
Right? The great liberal.
And of all the people he could have appointed, this was the only African-American, and so I'm sure the governor thought he was doing the good thing.
You think so?
Well, yeah. Look at me. I did a good thing here. There were none of them in the legislature. Nobody elected any, so he appoints one. And I think that he thought, well, that's a good thing. I'm doing a good thing.
Well, I applaud him. You know, he has his, he's one of the few people that can say openly, my best friend's colored. Well, he got Barack Obama on one hand and he got Woodson on the other. But over here, this other black guy, Carol Cox, who just want to be put on an electronic email list for press releases, he tells him to go screw himself. So, because you understand.
I do.
And you too were denied the right for some time to get a simple...
Oh, I still don't. I get something from the mayor's office constantly,
yeah,
and still nothing from the governor.
So in other words, what I'm saying is that the governor, when you peel back the real true color of all of these people that sit here and talk, we still got children sitting in Waianae and Nanakuli and those areas that are sweating it out to sit in classrooms to become educated because it's too hot.
Mm-hmm.
That reminds me that how I used to have to go to the cotton fields there in Cleveland, Mississippi on days and pick cotton, and they would take that money and give it to the white schools and then in turn buy school buses, and we would get their old buses. If you think I'm lying, call Eastside High School.
But again
there were these Democrats there, right, that were Democratic, that were free Americans, free thinkers, and they watched it and they evolved. And now I can go into, they've evolved to the point where I can sit at the same dinner table with them. Isn't that amazing? So the burden is on me to wait until, then the burden is on the gays and the lesbians in that community to wait until the legislators who were elected in the democratic process to evolve. Isn't that amazing? Why aren't you acting? When I read something last week about these people evolving, and I'm thinking, isn't that funny? The average Christian, many of them that I've spoken to, don't believe in evolution. So I'm thinking, are they meaning to say that evolution is okay when it speaks in a mental aspect, or evolution? Because they've dismissed the thought of evolution, right? God created heaven and earth, Adam and Eve, right? And so the evolution, isn't it funny how they can evolve when it's convenient?
Well,
and they're in track
that's data? The N word, you see.
Yeah. And now don't you go there, okay?
Okay, I won't.
Anyway, this, some people say that's a hard subject to talk about. No, it needs to be talked about. I'm so happy to see these preachers and all of the legislators emerge and evolve. It's like, God, we get to see what they really are about, what jerks they are. We get to see it now, finally. We get to see how they can convene meetings and start in January 1 and have a legislative process for months and get nothing done. Now I see, you see. Now we can go back and fix it. So anyway, we'll be back in the next hour. And this is the Carol Cox Show. Marcia, if you'd like to call back, we're going to be talking about border water supply and some good findings that we have. That should be interesting. We'll talk to you in the next hour.
Okay. Okay. Bye.
You're such a sexy lady. Ooh. tuned for the second half of the Carol Cox Show right after the news on KWAI Honolulu, K108.
Yeah. I look into my eyes, see the change in me. It's deep down in my soul. I look into my eyes to feel the love in me for you and you alone.
Baby, how could love like I ever did? I'll give anything to hold you again.
Will you still love me, baby?
If I give you my heart,
yeah.
Will we turn it apart? Will you still love me, girl? Will you love me, girl?
Will you love me, baby? Yeah, yeah.
Will you still love me, girl?
Girl,
if I give you my heart,
or listen to my voice, to hear the need in me. For you and only you. Oh, listen to my voice. If you believe in me, you'll know my words are true.
I keep aching, baby, send me a sign. I'd give anything to know you.
Remember when we used to go to the movies, holding hands? I remember those times, darling. I just think we should do those things again. Just give me a brand new start. Would you do that for me, darling?
Oh, I've been missing you so much, I could scream. There has got to be a chance for this.
Right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080. 524-1080. And now, here's Carol. The following program is brought to you by Carol Cox. Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of KWAI staff and management.
Okay, good morning again and welcome back to the Carol Cox Show. We were talking a little bit about many of things, and I had mentioned Bishop Larry Silva, and again, for those that didn't get what his status or title is, Most Reverend Larry Silva, he identifies himself as Bishop of Honolulu. But anyway, hopefully the civil rights, the rights of others is respected, and And that along the way, those that want to teach and preach to the gay community, the black community, all of those communities that are not living up to their standards, then I would say that if prayer is what you believe in and you it is your weapon against evil, then use prayer and not the newspaper. But anyway, with articles of frustration, I don't know. I think this piece that he wrote was just probably an act of desperation. If he wanted to say for those that still believe that it's not the rights of people and their rights, you know, maybe that was just saving face. Who knows? But anyway, hey, coming up, you know, we've talked about border water supply, and I'm also going to have here in the, shortly a young lady, Nani Giltner. She's with the Courage House of Hawaii, and speaking about the abuse of children and sex trade and human trafficking. So we'll talk about that shortly. But I wanted to throw something in here about the border water supply. Now, keep your eyes open. Some of you probably dismiss some of the things that I'm sharing with you, but you might as well turn to the Wall Street Journal or any other big paper, because what I'm telling you is the facts and the truth. Just if you're looking for it to come under a big title, then you're going to miss the beat. But the things that I cover, the things that I give you, they're factual, they're proven, they're tested, they're there, and I'm uncovering them. And thanks to many of you out there that keeps channeling and sending me this information, because there are people out there that care, employees of government agencies that care, and they're doing that. And so this next thing, take a piece of paper and write down UTC-10 Solutions, and then another company named EMA, E-M-A, and another company called STEP, S-T-E-P-P. Now, this name, Brian McKee, Mr. Brian McKee, and then Miss Julie McKee. So, again, remember now, we don't prove innocent or guilt here, and we don't say people are guilty of anything, but what I will share with you is that we've been privy to some information that warrants, at least at minimum, a criminal investigation within the border water supply. And it stems from information that we have that shows that just an original contract of $798,000, a contract that was eventually given to EMA, just the change orders, mind you, the change orders of that contract has blossomed to some close to $3.5 million in change orders. But if you recall in the paper the other day, the advertiser, Star Advertiser, there was a reference to they weren't buying patches. They basically bought the basic system in the computer system. That system, they didn't put any fixes because they say that it would cost some money. And I'm just touching the peripherally speaking about it. And then much more of it will come out later on, and we're going to lay it out. But that project was given by Clifford Lam, and it was only supposed to be the $798,000 or whatever the amount was here. Let's see here. But listen to this. Just for a contractor now, and you make sure you follow this, they're buying groceries for the subcontractor. They're paying rent to the subcontractor. Did you know that? This company, UTC, now, and these are things that we're still looking into it, but I think we're onto something, and it explains why the calculations are so prominent and so repetitive, and we see them commonplace now in the building process. And it explains, in my opinion, from the information that I have received, strongly suggest strongly that There is no fixing of anything. There is a drain, and let's go, for example, and UTC, so that I don't delay the process where we're going on with this next show. UTC, the records reflect, suggest that Mr. Brian McKee worked for the City and County of the Board of Water Supply as a permanent employee, drafted up documentation and for a new contract and what have you, and to serve the Board of Water Supply. He stepped down for a year and one day to meet the legal requirements. But the company had already been printed up and debated that he was one of the selecting companies. This is a company that he founded, so he stepped out. And I know it's confusing, but when I lay it out in the week coming, I'm just letting you know, giving you a hint of what's to come. I'm concerned that the entire structure, based on the information we have now, is as corrupt as you can get and warrants a criminal investigation. And that is, the agreement was he would get the contract, the company, and he's outside of the government now because he's trying to comply with the rules. But then in place is this selection of for his company, the proposal that he submitted. He steps out, waits a year and a day, then comes back and actually has a contract. But there were other local companies that were qualified as per the documentation we've witnessed, were qualified like Tetra Tech and Argus, but they didn't get it because they would be relying, quote, on primarily subcontracting work. But the work that he is providing is based on some subcontracting work. So then he, for example, the company called EMA came to town. EMA was in town, and I don't know the history of how he arrived here, but he McKee, his wife was the agent for the company, Emma, who had a contract with the city and still has that contract. McKee gets the contract with UTC after he returns back to the city, Board of Water Supply, as a private contractor. He wrote up the RFP for it, got the job, got the contract. Then he, in turn, somehow there's a company called STEP, STEPP, Russell STEP. Brian McKee, if you look at the public records, is the agent for that company. The biggest concern is that there is at least $3.5 million so far that have been paid out to them, and the clock is still ticking, or the cash register is still ticking. So just watch out for what's to come. I think that this is probably going to set the record straight, and I wish I could talk in greater detail that I had committed to the other subject of the trafficking, and didn't know if they were going to come, but they are here, so we'll stay consistent to our schedule. But again, maybe there'll be something tomorrow. We're working on something for TV, possibly giving it to KGMB. But watch out for that. This is... you're going to find it to be quite interesting, and it's quite revealing of what is occurring in the Department of Water, Board of Water Supply. Did you know that while they told us they were hiring, that they were hiring extra people to come in and fix the batteries, and their people were frantically working to fix the batteries, did you know that they paid $4 million? $2 point something to Paul's Electric to put the batteries in, and then Pacific Pack Electric got approximately $2 million, and they didn't fix the problem. So money, they're bleeding money over there, folks. They're just handing it out, fistfuls of money, just handing it out. So anyway, there's a lot more greater details that I have, anyway, that's where we are with that. And Nani, good morning. Thank you for coming in. And You're Nani Giltner, G-I-L-T-N-E-R.
Correct.
And you're with which organization, and how do they contact you? This is a subject someone out there might need to know.
The organization is called Courage House Worldwide, and they can contact us at the Courage House Worldwide.org.
Mm-hmm.
They can also contact us through our website, and I mean, if you even just go on and Google the Courage House, mm-hmm. Hawaii, you will find information about our organization, which is a nonprofit organization that is trying to put preventative measures and get a facility in here for girls who underage girls who need it, who are being trafficked. And we are talking about local girls,
mm-hmm.
Our keiki, our Hawaiian girls out there.
So when you say you want to build a house, or get a house and a shelter for this population of young people, there is a problem, you're saying? And what is that problem, if you could be specific?
The problem that's out there right now is that there is up to about 300 to 400 girls on just this island alone missing per month, just missing girls.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them are runaways, some are abducted, some are just cast away from families,
mm-hmm.
and they're just kind of just shoved off to the side, and they become prime targets for people who use these girls as commodities.
Mm-hmm. But what specific evidence is there? Is this occurring, or is this a preventive approach that you suspect that this is happening, or you have documented cases, and to what degree are these cases exist that warrants or you to prompt you to want to open a house?
There is a major issue here, and the proof is you can see it. Well, as you walk through Waikiki, you see the underage girls walking and past curfew times, and you see massage parlors that are open 24 hours that have girls there that you know that are not of age. And, you know, having branches, you know, different branches of the military here creates also an issue, and the tourism creates an issue.
Yeah, so
have missing people, missing persons.
Yeah. Well, I understand that, but what I'm trying to extract is that definitively that to build a house for runaways and what have you, the issue was about one of your primary concerns is the actual trafficking. And so what specific evidence do you have, and if you can quantify, obviously don't want to name names or anything, but specifics, seeing young ladies walking down the street, while that is just wrong in a sense, and they're 14 and it's 2 in the morning and no parents or adults, that's one thing. But what is the proof, where is the proof in the documentation that have been established that you, your organization, can clearly say, and it's out there, but what have you folks obtained that specifically, what numbers of young ladies are you finding, and what reports, police reports, that they're actually being trafficked?
Well, we actually do organizations that do work with us,
mm-hmm.
are like the FBI. And we are worldwide, so we have a place in California, which
mm-hmm.
is our home group, and another one in Tanawi? I don't know how to pronounce it very well.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, what's occurring right now is through these organizations, we are finding out that these runaways are not, you know, when they do find these girls and they get
mm-hmm.
arrested.
Mm-hmm.
They are finding that they're not from the place that they're getting arrested from.
Okay, and is that I'm having a difficult time getting you to tell me. I mean, if building a house is good, and that
and finding
but
the
and find but you, Are you going to document it later, build a house first, then go out and document the actual sale and trafficking existing here in Honolulu, or does it exist and do you have hard facts or specifics that where the 20 guys have been arrested or 30 children have been rescued from the hands of some sleazy person? That's what I'm asking.
We do. We have it all posted on our website, all these current events of girls being trafficked.
But here in Honolulu, I'm trying to get you specifically.
We do. We have it all posted on our website,
okay.
All the information of girls being trafficked here.
Mm-hmm.
I know you keep pushing for it.
No, I'm not pushing. It's just that you're saying that you want to build a house to rescue kids from trafficking, and I'm asking you how many are being trafficked and what's your proof in the documentation. Not that I'm questioning,
but
listeners out there, the listeners are quite astute. Not just one of them. They'll just ask the basic question. Is it a building they'll come, or does it exist and your organization is here to place this needed item, this house, this refuge, to recover and rescue these girls? When you rescue them, where do they go? So have you folks, your organization here in Hawaii, documented the actual trafficking? I mean trafficking, not one of those states, in Hawaii.
We do. We actually have people who are out there being, documenting and
mm-hmm.
following the news and being there as far as the front lines in the medical field as well as in the judiciary field and documenting all these things that are occurring in the juvenile section of the court systems and whatnot.
Okay, but again, that the juvenile section would be that's truancy and vagrancy on the part of the children.
Right.
But again, where the perpetrators are, have you documented people actually grabbing, snatching kids and then putting them in a system, shipping them out from Honolulu? Is that term trafficking?
Yes.
Okay.
They are being trafficked.
And you've documented, your organization has documented that.
We have the information on our website. Everything is available.
Well, no, tell us. Many of the listeners don't have websites. They don't have it. Radio is...
Right. No, of course. A lot of it has to do with, I guess the bulk of it has to do with, getting the facilities and the treatment out there for these girls. They're getting pushed and treated like criminals
mm-hmm.
instead of being treated as victims and getting the treatment out there that they need. So they're getting locked up instead of getting the treatment that they need, and that's what we're trying to provide for them.
Okay.
Is that alternative treatment instead of incarceration.
Okay. All right. I don't sound... are you suggesting... do I want to ask this question to sound like a jackass here? But if the kids are found to be in the clutch hands of a guy who's marketing or who's selling them for sex or using or abusing them, are you suggesting that the police or the government, the authorities, are finding these kids in that role and then in turn arrest the guy and then subject the kids to a court system as well, charge a kid? Is that it? Or
they're really not going after the perpetrators per se.
Okay.
They're more just going after, the prostitutes or the underage girls that are out there. And they're not there by choice. They're being forced into this.
By pimps and whomever or whatever, fear or what have you. So so that's
the bulk of the issue,
why your organization exists then, is that it's documented, you're saying, and that the pimps, and then one of the problems, the kids get, once they're rescued from the hands of these pigs, the police arrest the pig.
Hawaii doesn't have the facilities.
Okay, and so
set up for it.
The children then are incarcerated and put to the judicial system as for being victims, because they're underage, and then in turn you folk are going to build a house to give them some refuge to that. So then,
so they can get the proper treatment.
Right. So what happens? Are you advocating or trying to create legislation to have these perpetrators arrested and pursued and prosecuted? And what's your plans there?
We are trying our best to work with the local police and with other nonprofit organizations to just not only let make changes within the system, our government system, but also with knowledge of parents and and the public out there, to let them know that your children are at risk. You need to pay attention to who your children are associating themselves with, and exactly what they need to do to take those measures to make sure that, you know, the risks are lowered, so that their children don't become these victims.
So this is speaking to how to prevent the child becoming a victim. So what are some of the things, as you in advocating for this, what would you offer to a parent that right now has a child who at 10 o'clock when the family goes to bed, 11 o'clock, the child hops out of the window and run downtown, and not realizing the dangers there? What can you offer, or advice, or what guidance can you give the parent to deal with this? Because you know you can't beat them. You can't slap them.
Of course not.
But, for me, I didn't ever want to slip out the house because I knew I was going to get a stick upside my head. It worked.
Well, I'm glad it did. We just want to make sure that the public knows that there's another way. There's help out there. Mm-hmm. There is another organization out there for them to reach out to, to get that support.
Okay.
To get that information, to get that education of how to help their children.
So how does one call you folks in, and what's the privacy factor? I mean, and what guarantees as a family? Is this, are you working with Child Protective Services, or is this independent?
This is an independent organization.
And, but your work, do you share information? And then
it's totally confidential. Okay. Everything is confidential.
So do you, what do you do to prevent, because in this climate here, the HHS doesn't, in my opinion, only react when something hits the news or something. So is there a risk of the families, when they call you, then you are obligated to tell the HHS? Is there any obligation that you have in a relationship like that? So would that cause people not to call you?
No. There is no risk as far as, unless, there is the normal rules as far as if you're, telling us that you're going to commit a crime in some kind of
way. Well, we don't need to speak to that. I mean, that would be an insult and suggest or even infer that, to ask that question. Obviously,
exactly.
If you're advocating for kids, you're going to do whatever. If the parent calls you up and says, I beat the snot out of this kid every day, can you help me? It's,
exactly.
It's one of those subjects we don't even... I'm asking for what assurance can the parent be? Because this is a child that is attracted to by their friends and the goings-ons, and so it's not anything criminal the parent is doing. So this, if a family call you up, that information, is it a confidential call, and then you go and counsel them or meet with them? What's the process?
It's a completely confidential process, and we do have professionals within the medical and behavioral health group that are set up to handle these situations, as far as supporting them, being there for them, and making sure that, their names, especially when you're dealing with underage girls. And, there is a lot of shame factor in the subject matter. Mm-hmm. And we don't want to put anybody off as more than it already is. It's a topic that people don't want to talk about. about. Mm-hmm. We want to make people aware of them. We need to get people to talk about this subject.
And about the children misbehaving or the sex trade?
The actual sex trade and this actually occurring.
Mm-hmm.
Us ignoring it and not talking about it is creating more of a leeway and more of a, I would say, a benefit to these perpetrators.
Mm-hmm.
The more we don't talk about it, the more they get to work under the radar.
So, let's say a family is concerned. What do they look for to where not all of them, these kids are captured and held hostage in a dark room?
No.
Some of them are able to go back home, but there's a degree of fear or harm. They fear that the pimp or the perpetrator will cause them if they spoke out. So, what does a family look for? And what symptoms or what are some of the behavior that you folks suggest the parents look for to prevent this? What?
Well, there's a lot of symptoms and stuff.
Or behavior. Symptoms, behavior. What?
Mainly, a lot of times the pimps will present themselves as boyfriends. And they will come in and they will, court their daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And move themselves in, and then eventually the girl believes that this is love, and it creates that kind of atmosphere for them where they believe that that's an actual relationship that's occurring.
So, again, one question leads to the next then. So, are you suggesting that the pimps, too, are teenagers? Because in this situation where he moves in, I mean, if you got a 14-year-old daughter and the pimp moves in and the pimp's 21 or 35, it's not the child's problem or the pimp's problem. It's the parents who just have no values to allow that. What would a person look for? The boyfriend, 16-year-old, 15-year-old, 14-year-old? What's a pimp that would move in? Is it the teenage boys that are pimping?
Well, actually, there really is no age.
No, I understand, but I'm talking about for the when you say they move in,
I'm saying they actually target, kids that aren't happy at home.
Okay. I got that part. I'm just trying, when you suggested that they would move in, some of the strategies, move in as a boyfriend or become a boyfriend and present themselves. That age difference, the parents should be concerned with, right?
They should be concerned with that.
So are there kids, teenage boys, behaving in this fashion, pimping the girls, harassing and threatening and selling them?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay.
Not that I'm aware of. I don't want to say that I do know the answer to that question. There could be, but I don't know that for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I know that there is a bunch of them from various ages that are presenting themselves as significant others.
Yeah.
That's
in a generic sense. We were talking about specifics. We're trying to solicit what can a parent look for in that. I mean, what you're offering happens in family rearing anyway, and they can get this down at the local buy a book and tell them that. I'm talking about what we use the term trafficking,
right?
And that's more severe. And then what does a parent, and if the somebody listening to this would go away saying they're crying wolf and we haven't seen the wolf,
Exactly. My main concern for I guess our keiki, our
mm-hmm.
children out there, is that a lot of times we don't even realize that these guys are pimps.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have a big neon sign that says I'm a pimp. A lot of times we don't know that they're doing what they're doing, and it's hard as a parent. A lot of parents are very busy with their, going out there and trying to find a career and support their families. that they can't watch their kids 24/7.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of the values that are instilled are materialistic, and a lot of times warning signs would be they're over there buying them a lot of things, buying them a lot of materialistic things. These guys will buy them a lot of gifts, take them out to a lot of fancy places, treat them really nicely, and then slowly present, you know, as far as, do this favor for me kind of thing.
Okay, that's the process of becoming abused and being sucked in a lull into the...
And it happens so subtly, and you don't even, most of the time, they don't even realize it's happening to mm-hmm. them.
So I see laws that exist where people, men are arrested, and they get arrested for importing the girl and doing interstate, what have you. But again, back to that earlier question, your organization has proof of many cases. Would you say, how would you quantify, 10, 20 a month or 100 a month, or that they've documented the actual trading or the sale or the trafficking?
Well, like I said before, there's 300 to 400 girls missing.
Okay,
now,
but that just could be...
It's a percentage. It's a different percentage of runaways, and there's also the drug problem.
Right, so
and
that's...
other issues. But as far as trafficking is concerned, it's hard to come up with a solid number.
I mean that you've documented. I don't expect you to tell me how many are out there, because if that's the case, then we'd have control over this whole matter. Your organization, because there might be someone listening right now and says, I want to make a donation to this effort, and because it's a horrendous thing. But, you know, I'm having, personally, sitting here going, but where is the trafficking? I mean, we know, I've talked many times about how pimps love one in an unruly child, a child who sneaks out the window, and that's the precursor, or it sets them up for the pimp. They come in contact with the pimp or the guy that's going to traffic them. That part, we got that, but how many on that your organization know of, or what should we be, excited and concerned, even one case.
Right.
But quantifying it, I mean, if you're going to build a house for this, and clearly you've documented something out
there. The last numbers that I actually updated and looked up last night was about 35% of that number that I gave you. 35% of them are being trafficked.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the numbers that we documented. 35%.
Mm-hmm. That are being trafficked, and that could be by pimps or...
Yes.
Are any of them shipped out of state?
Yes, a lot of them are being shipped out of state.
And where are you finding, what state? Is there any particular state that shows up on them?
All over the place.
Some of the states are what?
Some are being shipped off worldwide.
Mm-hmm.
Alaska's another big hub.
Mm-hmm.
Any place that does a lot of import-export and does tourism as their main force of economic means
mm-hmm.
will have a market as far as, you know, these businessmen who, you know, have a demand for this service.
Mm-hmm. And that demand is here, too? You guys have documented that,
yes.
that activity here?
A lot of times there will be more missing children when there's a huge event occurring in Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
When, you know, we used to have the Pro Bowls over here.
Mm-hmm.
More children came missing.
I see. Hold on.
Good morning, caller. Come in a question. Good morning, caller. Come in a question.
Are you talking to me?
Do you have a comment or question?
Well, yes, I'm part of Courage Worldwide.
Hi, Uncle Boy.
Hey, good morning, Nani. I just wanted to add some of the questions you're asking. Some of those statistics aren't available because of the secretness of the nature of the business. When people are asking us, and this is what I'm saying, this is nationwide, it's hard to pinpoint the amount or percentage that's going on, because a lot of these kids that we are targeting aren't the kids that you see walking on the street. When people think of trafficking, or we think of the sex trade industry, the first thing one takes images of is the red light area in someone's district. These kids that we are targeting aren't being used online. They're being used online. They're in hotel rooms. They're being held. What a parent needs to look for is most of the kids that are being targeted, as you already know, are the kids that are the runaways, are the kids that aren't in good homes, are the kids that are not, you know, doing the right things within their families. They come from broken homes. They've been in the prison system. They've been, you know, out and about. Those are the kids that no one pays attention to. But for the parent who has kids that are suddenly not listening to them, suddenly becoming defiant, suddenly showing up at home with a lot of beautiful and nice things, those are things to start watching for. What's happening now is that the perpetrators, the pimps, the guys who are out there, they're looking for these kids. They bring a higher rate of income in. That's the kind of kids that they want to snatch and grab. So they're having other young kids. When you ask Nani, is the kids 16 and 17 years old? We have a program in Courage Worldwide, you know, that we go out and we teach. It's called Smart Courage. We're going out to the schools, bringing in awareness. There's this thing called Stranger Danger. So the pimps are recruiting 16 and 17 year old boys to go out and make friends with the kids that they're targeting.
Okay, let me clarify what you suggest that I ask her. The premise for this and the intention of this interview was based on the fact that the presentation with that there was trafficking.
Yeah.
Then what percentage and what numbers do you have when you say that it's secretive? Clearly, yes, it is the privacy, but then you as an organization to want to build a facility, a refuge, would want to have known or be motivated because you have some way quantified a need for it. That's all I'm asking. I'm not asking you to disclose specifics about who, what, and when, but for your organization who say that there is trafficking. And then we can move downstream and discuss how one can prevent, as you, if you follow my line of questions. How does one prepare and prevent? What things does a parent look for? But I'm still, and you can probably share with us, quantifying the, quote, trafficking of kids, not just for sex trade of 14 or 12 years old. I mean, what is the severity or what is the number of what percentage of is it bad, good, or how would you describe it here, and have you documented that?
Well, this is the whole thing is trying to get data like that is hard.
Mm-hmm.
But I do work in the field. Most of us who are involved as volunteers within the Courage House Hawaii project are within the realm of that field. Some of us come from the emergency room set. I am a substance abuse counselor. I work in a residential treatment center that works with adolescent youth. Excuse me. And when I work within the female communities, they come and share that a lot of the ways these girls get by and are stuck in drug addictions, they get stuck in drugs and they end up being pimped or they end up being trafficked. So if you want a percentage number, I would say I've been in this field for the last 15 years. I would say out of two out of every 10 girls that I've worked with have been trafficked in some form or another.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it's, you know, the girls, like I said, they come from good homes, some come from bad homes, but there is a need. Our facility, you know, without disclosing much, we house over, I would say over 10 girls. Between a 6 and 8 month period, and there is a waiting list now. Get this, there's a waiting list that is 6 months long.
Mm-hmm.
To get in.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you look at the judiciary or you look at the criminal side, most of these kids will get picked up because there is no place for them to go and get treatment. Here in the state of Hawaii, they get sent to the Hawaii Youth Correctional Facility.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so when you want numbers, all I can tell you right now is that there's a lot. There's a lot of girls out there who are being trafficked that some of them don't even know it.
Yeah.
I can attest to you right now that I know there's one girl out there that I know of that is in it and has no clue what's going on because of the addiction to drugs.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of like, you know, taking that side off of her. But the person is that they want what they want and that they're willing to surrender. And the pimps know this, so there's strategy. But, again, you know, to answer your question, the numbers, to get the actual numbers, it's very skewed. It's hard to get actual numbers. I am just going from my experience working in the field, from our some of our other people who work in emergency rooms that deal with these kids that are coming in. There's a lot of fear. You know, girls, when you ask Nani if what happens, they take them away. Yes, the bottom line is to incapacitate the kids. So kids that are brought here, prime example, this is even with the FBI. One of the kids I worked with ran from our place, got picked up. The next thing you know, she's being caught in Florida at the Super Bowl in a sting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and this is documented fact with
that then. What is a specific answer to my questions? And you know, it sounds as you keep focusing on what I asked you to quantify. I was looking to say specific instances so the listeners can say, yeah, there's a need for that. I mean,
yeah.
Combating pimps and abuse of children is a front line anyway. But again, giving to ask if you have documented proof. So a case such as that, they're actually being snatched up. And when someone hears that kind of story, I think they will shiver and become more attentive, the parents, because the parents, you know, my kids, you're saying that the kids get attracted to drugs and being out there doing drugs. They don't have jobs, so they get the drugs. So there's a guy who then provides them the drugs, and then the next thing you know, he's pimping her. Or got her running drugs and selling drugs, all kinds of abuses. But I was thinking, what to talk about it here? You know, we see them. You mentioned the massage parlors.
Mm-hmm.
Are they finding young girls underage working in massage parlors?
Yes, they are.
Okay. Mm-hmm. See that kind of stuff. Yeah. How does one contact you if they want to make donations to you for this effort or to help you? That's what I'm trying. Can you,
Uncle Boy? Could you cover that?
Is it boy or boy?
B-O-I.
Okay. Okay. Go ahead.
Yeah. If people want to, you know, learn more about our organization, they can go to our website. It's called Courage Worldwide, and then they can click on the Hawaii button. There's a button about Hawaii, but if they want to get more information and more details about what's going on, in June I spent 3 weeks at Courage House in California at the Safe House, working along with the staff, training the staff, sharing them ways to work with these girls that are very traumatized. And what people don't understand, maybe don't have a picture, why do we need this home? Like I know you've been asking, Cal. You can get, before I go away from your question, you can get all the information on making donations or even volunteering your services, people's time, just wanting to come out and help us raise funds or just being with us when we hold events. That's a great contribution as well. Yeah. I mean, if you don't have the money, we can sure use the hands. We can sure use people's insight and ideas on wanting to build this up. But if there's someone out there that has money and they want to, you know, get involved, they can go to our website. All the donations are tax deductible. We are a registered 501c3 organization under Courage Worldwide and Courage House Hawaii.
Now, here's, I got off the website, the office for local, it gives the local number 808-445-3131. 808-445-3131. There's also a national hotline for human trafficking, right? And that's 888-373-7888. 888-373-7888. So it's a real problem, right? Well, there's no debate about that. It's just that what you're doing is trying to prevent and provide refuge and safety to those that are caught up in it, correct?
Yes, we are. You know, like you said, you know, I wish I could give you more detailed information. And that's the problem we face, not only here in Hawaii, nationwide, with other programs such as our Courage Worldwide, Destiny House, Shared Hope International. I mean, trying to get these numbers, you know, a lot of people, when you mention this, we shiver. When we hear sex trafficking, we go, oh, well. But then when we hear it's dealing with 9-year-old girls now.
Yeah.
Girls now.
The message I want to leave, it whether it's 1 or 10,000, it doesn't matter. One is too many. And so that I want you to understand, it's not my solicitation of the numbers is not for the purpose of justifying if it's this action is needed. It's just to give an idea of what is going on out there, you see, because one child rescued is ask that child, how does he feel to be rescued from that abuse?
Yeah, I mean, I can personally attest to that, being in the safe house in California, hearing the testimony of kids that have been helped and how, you know, thankful they are. And then again, you know, they're so saddened by the way their life is. But like you said, you know, 1 or 10,000, the problem exists. It's horrific. It's crazy. You know, people don't want to, if they need more data to see how bad it is, you know, there's people who are producing documentaries out there, such as Nefarious, Love, Sex, and Money.
Mm-hmm.
We want to get more insight on that. These are national issues. Here in Hawaii, it exists. And, you know, we have the local style, no say nothing. You know, what we don't know, we won't say. Or we have this local pride. You know, well, it's not going to happen. But people, I just want to share, it is happening here. It's on Craigslist. It's on Backdoor. It's on the Internet. You know, mm-hmm. It's on services.
Okay. Hey, we're coming down to the last few minutes. Let's do this because this issue, this topic is important to me because I also know what goes on out there on the streets. And I do, like you say, 2 o'clock in the morning, you see 13-year-old girls.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's in Waikiki. They're not there to get cotton candy.
No.
You know? and so you see that, and you know there are perpetrators out there and pimps, and you don't know if they're down there on their own, which it doesn't matter because it's 13-year-old girl.
Yeah.
At 2 in the morning.
Yeah,
and no parents
have
around.
A choice in the matter.
Right.
Yeah. So anyway, can you folks put together, so talk about what parents should look for if you notice what it was, because it's a reality. I've known families that have had girls, young sons, that when they go to bed, out the back window, they're gone.
Yeah.
And that father may just be the beginning, but it's something dangerous that lurks because once they're out there, they're subject to anything.
Yeah.
And there are guys that wait, looking for mules or runners or put them on the plane carrying drugs just for that, not just sex.
No, not just
sex. But they'll, whatever, you know.
As a parent, you know, if the bottom, what I've learned over the years working in the city, if the kid is going to do it, they're going to do it. The best thing, preventative message the families can do with their kids is to have that open line of communication, not the condemning communication. Even if the kid is struggling,
right.
Parents, if you're listening, man, talk to your kids. Be straight up with them and just love them and just tell them, you know, what's going on and ask them questions. The biggest intercessory thing they can do to be an obstacle is to ask them who they're going out with.
Right.
Know their friends. You know, the kids I work with, I get on Facebook with them and I see who's trying to reach them and stuff. I have kids. I'm a father of four. And you know, I have two girls and I, you know, it ain't easy being a parent out there. The enemy, as I say, the opposing force is always trying to be one step ahead of us. But for parents who go to bed, who have a feeling kids are kind of teeter-tottering, is talk to them, love them, and just let them know that, you know, the dangers that are out there. And the thing is education.
Let me ask you this. Can you pick a Sunday on next month? In November, and we can come back and talk about it, give more insight and more advice.
Pick a
date on a Sunday. We're from 9 to 11, and if you can if you'd like to do that, because this was the last minute. We were, in a sense, yesterday I had something else planned, but that canceled. But then this subject I've always, and Uncle Joe had mentioned you folks earlier, months ago, but you got ill or something. But it's important to talk about. Mr. Boy, thank you, and pick a date and just send me an email. And Nani, thank you
for having us.
Yeah.
All righty. Well, thank you, and we'll talk to
you
next month then.
Okay.
All righty. Aloha.
Aloha.
Right.
Thank you
very much,
Nani. Okay, we'll be back next week, and hey, there's a line. Sorry that I couldn't get to many of the calls out there, so we'll talk next week in greater detail, and I mean greater detail of border water supply, but keep your eye on the news, and there's going to be some things revealed, and I believe that there's a need for a criminal investigation of the border water supply. Figure like this: the people that are subcontracting for border water supply here had hands in Kauai, and there's Mr. Ernest Lau,
worked over there and have a relation with those. And then the deputy now that works at Department of Border Water Supply has relationship, working relationship with these people, the contractors. So there's a big problem here, folks, and I think we found why our meters and wire calculations are occurring so frequently. It's because the top is containing and there's money being bled off. And that's what it's about. So hopefully we'll find out where the kickback. So thank you. We'll see you next week.
This has been the Carol Cox Show, heard every Sundays at 9 a.m. on K108. Tune in again next week, Sunday at 9 a.m. to the Carol Cox Show on 1080 a.m. KWAI Honolulu.